To take the notes.
Okay, so we are now being recorded. I will call the meeting to order at 5:38 p.m.
Sorry, Kim just asked if you wanted her to take notes.
Oh, since I don't believe Sandy is with us, that would be awesome, Kim.
Okie dokie.
Thank you for catching that. I'm so scatterbrained. So I'll give you a moment to get yourself ready.
Oh, I'm all ready.
Okay, excellent. So the meeting will call to order now at 5:39 p.m. Pacific. And we can take roll. Dave Pawson, present. Kim Laird.
Present.
Nathan Wakefield.
Present.
Aaron Stevens.
Present.
Martin Frost. Okay. Lloyd Timberlake.
Present.
Scott Krause.
Present.
Tom Wall. Not present. Sandy Brown. Not present. And Mike Sullivan. Not present. Okay. Are you taking notes offline, Kim? Like on paper?
No, I'm having an issue with typing. It won't let me type anything in. Is there a reason?
There shouldn't be. Let's hold on a second.
I can see my little green thingy.
I see your green thingy. That's happened to me a couple times recently where I just wasn't able to type in. Oh, there's something.
Yeah.
Chair Dave Boston called me to order at.
There's Aaron.
Are you on the agenda on the Google Docs?
Yes.
Only four people can edit that.
At a time.
No. Only four people have edit rights. Anyone who has the link can view. I'm looking at
the way it's set up. Actually, the IJA account can't write it.
And that's him right now. Somehow, did everyone else notice that consummate dog something something email took over? Yeah, it's now linked to this, to the board email.
I think that's a weirdness of us adding our accounts to
Board Plus.
To Board Plus. But in any case, that's my guess. So, Kim, what account are you logged in as, yours or the Board Plus one?
I logged into Board Plus.
Yeah, I think you need to be logged into you the way the document got created, or we can just fix it, I think.
Well, let me do this. I'll just do it offline for right now, and I'll work on it later. I just copied it all over. Oh, I was in the copy. You gotta be kidding me. There we go.
Okay. So let's just, if you're okay doing it offline for now, that's probably good because I just tried to add Board Plus and it didn't seem to do anything. So I think it's very confused by your email address at this point.
I'll do it offline.
Okay. So did you catch everything up to this point, the call to order at 5:39 and the roll call?
Yep.
Martin.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
Hey.
Hi.
Okay, we need to approve the agenda. Hopefully everyone got a chance to take a look at it. Does anyone make that motion?
I'll make the motion. This is Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Does anyone second the motion?
I second it. Lloyd.
Thank you, Lloyd. Is there anything we need to discuss about the agenda? Okay, then we can vote to approve the agenda. Does anyone wish to disapprove of the agenda? Does anyone want to abstain? The agenda is unanimously approved. Approval of minutes. I'm happy to say we don't have like 75 of them piled up to talk about this time. All we have left are the minutes from the last meeting in November. And hopefully everybody was able to see those. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
November or December.
Thank you, Nathan. Do we have a motion to a second for that motion?
Second, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
Which month?
Excuse me?
The minutes.
Which month minutes are you working on?
We're approving the November minutes.
Okay. There was a meeting in December, right?
Oh, geez. What? Oh, no, no, no. I read it. Thank you for the correction. We're talking about the December meetings. I got confused because the word November is in the agenda right next to it. Yes, thank you, Martin. We are actually approving the December minutes. Just to be proper, I'll do it again. Do we have a motion to approve the December minutes?
So moved. This is Lloyd.
Thank you, Lloyd. Do we have a second?
Second, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Okay. Is there anything we need to discuss or correct in those minutes? Okay, then we'll put it to vote. Does anyone disapprove of the minutes as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, thank you. The December minutes are unanimously approved. And again, thank you for catching me being scatterbrained, Martin. Okay, so that gets us through to the reports. The first one on the list is Kim's festival planning report. Hopefully people got to take a look at that. Thank you for being so thorough, Kim.
Yeah, it looks great, Kim.
Yeah, lots going on.
Stuff.
A whole lot. And I just read the report from Phil Barr today. I did send that out to everyone. He is confirmed for the Boys and Girls Club, and it was Toledo. So that's where the benefit show will take place this year.
Toledo, Ohio. Okay. How far is that from the festival?
I think it's like a half-hour drive.
Okay.
25 minutes, half an hour. I am looking into getting at least one van, possibly like a 15-passenger, to take as many of the performers as possible with him. And I've contacted Wendy at the Convention Bureau, and she's going to see if she can get that donated. I'm working donations as best as I can.
Yeah, I liked what you were saying about trying to raise prize money for competitors and stuff through local donations. That's an awesome concept.
Yeah, that I love.
And I like the idea that that's what that money would be going towards. I think that's a neat goal.
Yeah, I think it's a good goal, and I think it's the way to do it, because we've had several discussions about raising prize money, and many of the channels we've discussed, I was kind of stuck saying, well, I like the idea of giving more prize money, but I don't know if we can afford to do it in that way. And I think getting it from an outside source like that is beautiful, because I think the winners do deserve more money. It's just tough to justify spending the limited budget we have on that at times. So.
And I have to credit Bob Nickerson with kind of planting that seed in my mind, because he had told me about how years ago, when a very early fest, used to have the championships completely sponsored by major corporations, and they would actually be named for that corporation. So I'm kind of building on that model.
Awesome.
I am offering any sponsoring corporations free tickets to the championships, as well as their names being displayed on banners on either sides of the stage.
Great. That sounds like good incentive.
It does. Yeah, that's awesome.
And there's usually so many, like Coca-Cola has a bottling company in so many different regions of the world where they're only going to support local things going on. So instead of applying on a national level, just going to that local corporation makes a lot of sense.
Right. And Keith currently is in Paris, France, right now, talking up the IJA. We also talked through email just yesterday to try and come up with some cost-cutting ideas as far as getting performers from Europe or from other countries to here. Seems like for Jeton and for Svetlana, it may actually be cheaper for them to fly into one of the New York airports. And Keith is driving in. He has a large van and said if things work out, he may have them fly into New York and then they'll drive with him in the rest of the way. Ticket prices are cheaper to the New York airport than to Toledo or Detroit.
I bet. Yeah, that's interesting that works out that way. Yeah, I keep meaning to put Keith and Kyle Johnson in touch with each other as well, because Kyle was making the observation that there are pretty large fire festivals in that region in relatively the same time frame. So if we were ahead of things, we might be able to leverage some people who would be in the U.S. who wouldn't otherwise be here already. And cover kind of more of the spinning and flow side of the world. So I was going to get them in touch with each other so they can talk shop. Are we still in limbo on the original headliner that you had asked quite some time ago?
Yes, we are. And I've sent 2 emails since last month's board meeting and have not gotten a response. So I'm going to send one more. And if that doesn't, if I don't get a response or if that doesn't pan out, then I'm going to look elsewhere. But I have no choice. I have to get a headliner.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, so at some point, I don't know how stealthy we need to be. So at some point, you and I had discussed someone else that approached you about potentially headlining.
Mm-hmm.
After the original offer had gone out, do we have any thoughts on that at this point? If the first one falls through, is it now budgetarily prohibitive?
Well, actually, it was budgetarily prohibitive originally. It's the same individual that I'm thinking of, because that individual wanted to offer, you know, the regular one-hour workshop at a cost to the IJA of $80 a workshop. It was going to, he wanted to get paid for everything he did, everything.
Well, right, but we didn't even enter into any sort of negotiations on that. I mean, I would have been happy to talk to him and say, no, nobody gets paid for doing regular workshops.
Well, and you know, I'd like to offer that, but, you know, it seemed like it was pretty cut and dry and that, you know, this is the package deal or else is the way I kind of took it. And even the Facebook messages, the Facebook conversations that he and I have had, it seemed like it was pretty cut and dry. Here's everything he wanted to do. Here's what he wanted to get paid. And I don't know.
Okay. So in any case, it sounds like we haven't had any further discussions.
Right. Okay. Right. Not since then. I kind of left the door open.
Uh-huh.
I didn't slam it shut. So, you know, and I was very honest and said, you know, that's a lot of money, more than what we usually spend. So, but I did leave it open. I have been in contact with him, you know, over the last couple weeks, actually. You know, just chit-chat here and there, nothing specific about the fest. So, door's open.
Okay. I was also going to mention, I think you probably knew this, but actually I had a really good talk with Laura Ernst about the busking competition. One weekend we spoke on the phone for quite a while about kind of how we did things last time and why we did it that way and her thoughts on how to do things this time. And it was a good talk. It was lots of fun. So.
She's really excited about the competition. Like, super stoked about it.
Yeah, I would be excited about it anyway, and I think there's a lot to make it even more interesting this year. So,
all of the paperwork for permits for the busker competition and for the parade have been filed, so we're all ready for that. Visitors, the Convention Bureau, is taking care of those fees for us, so they're donating those costs.
Outstanding. Okay. Are there other questions for Kim or things we want to discuss about the festival report before we move on?
I noticed that on your report, you mentioned that you were present at the last Fun meeting. Since we didn't get a report from Warren, could you just tell us a little bit more about what happened there? and what the vote for the $3,000 was for?
Sure. And that's partly my fault. I was supposed to forward on the minutes from that meeting. Okay. I basically shared with them the layout of the Perry Field House so that we could start looking at where to place things that the Sun Fund would think about getting. They talked about the lounge and the arcade area, talked about the fact that they spent about $1,300 in the past, but they're expecting to be under budget on that this year. They have looked into Guinness Book of World Records being on hand to validate any records that are broken, say, during the numbers competition. As of last week's meeting, it didn't look like that would be a possibility. Alan Howard is actually connected with Guinness Book of World Records, and I had contacted him back in September about this idea, and since then, Crash has also, you know, John Jessman has checked it out as well. Jeff also talked with Alan about it, and the original story that we got last week was it didn't look like it was going to be able to happen with Guinness. So the committee talked about getting in record setters instead and working out something with them so that anyone who qualifies for breaking a record, and it mostly happens in the numbers competition, would indeed have that record. Since then, in fact, just about 2 hours ago, I got an email from Alan Howard saying things have changed. He got a response from Guinness Book of World Records. They are looking into the possibility of sending someone to adjudicate any records that are broken at the IJA, but they need some more information from us. So I'm getting that information together as far as how many competitors usually are in the numbers competition, what equipment is used, what kind of records are we looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing there. The busing, that's where the $3,000 is coming in, and this was approved by the Fund Committee. Jeff Kelly suggested upping the prize money for the buskers competition. Originally, he suggested $5,000 be the total prize money among the buskers, but the committee eventually compromised on a $3,000 floor for the prize money, with the option of raising that prize money later if there's room within the fund budget. And that was passed by a majority. There were a couple people that were absent. They talked about the possibility of getting a mechanical bull. That would come complete with its own insurance and a bouncy house. So we would have a bounce house as well, and that would be for 3 days of the fest. They are doing the obstacle, of course, again, but it's going to be bigger and better, and they talked about a rather large digital clock or timing device being part of the whole obstacle course this time so that observers could actually see the times as they're coming in. They're also, looking at possibly having a cover band come in from the area, and they're working on getting a German wheel brought in as well. Jack is also looking at the juggler's cards again, but some of the committee commented that the first year that the juggler's cards were used, they were very popular, and the second year they were kind of over it. So we actually talked about making it a card game similar to Wizard's Coast, to Magic,
mm-hmm.
the Gathering. And turns out Warren Hammond has a contact at Wizards of the Coast who put out Magic the Gathering. So he's going to check on what we would need to possibly do that and actually be a juggler's card game.
Funny.
And then everyone would get a deck of cards so they could play the game. Let's see, what else was in here? Nathan, who's on the committee, Nathan Peterson, has been talking to people, and one of the ideas that other jugglers had that they thought would be cool as part of the fun fund would be laser tag. So we're working on something like that. Possibly, I thought that might fit into the whole late night game thing. But we'll see what happens with that. Warren really has a good hold on things. He's keeping a tight rein on things, trying to keep his meetings to only an hour. And there are a bunch of documents that the committee needs to look at before the next meeting next month, which is February 13th, is the next meeting for them. And at that meeting, they want to approve a bunch of items so that they can then bring that to the board and to EWE.
That's great. So the only comment I'd make on everything in there, and in particular I'll make it to you because of your comments about how you're still looking for a championships director.
Mm-hmm.
But last time we did the busking competition, one of the reasons we didn't make the prize money high is because we were sort of sensitive to the fact that the prize money for the championship. Wow, I'm getting a lot of echo now.
Yeah, what's going on?
Can you hello? Okay.
Is anybody on Skype?
Hmm?
Anybody on
Skype?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Can try muting your phone.
Okay, let's see if that's better. Nope.
All right, mine's no longer on speaker.
Is that better? Nope.
Okay, everybody, mute your phone. Except Dave is trying to talk.
That sounded good.
I was wondering how that was going to work in everyone muted their phone. Okay, well, somebody who muted fixed the problem. So I guess for now we can say next time you need to say something, unmute, and if it comes back, then you'll know it's you. So the comment I was making before was last time we kept the prize money where it was because we were sensitive to the fact that the prize money in the championships is not that great, and it's not where we wanted it to be. So I'm sure some of you remember, and I don't remember what the prize money is for winning the individuals' championships.
$1,000.
$1,000.
It's right. $1,750 overall for the top three places.
Right. So I don't have it in front of me, but I know that Kate Flaherty last time won somewhere in the neighborhood of $600.
Mm-hmm.
So if scaled up proportionally, she would now get like $900 if there's 1.5 times as much prize money to go around.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great. I like seeing them win. I don't want it to become a thing where people are frustrated because the individual champion is getting less than the busking champion or something like that.
I do think that's something to be sensitive of, yeah. And if we improve the championship money, that's great. But, yeah,
right. It makes everything easier all the way around.
Getting more, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Right.
I understand that, and so does the committee. That's why they didn't raise it right to $5,000.
Right.
However, any sponsorship money that comes in is going to go to championships money first. That's my plan. So one way or another, it's going to be raised in some way. And they're well aware that the busker money should not exceed the championships money.
Cool.
So it's kind of, that's why they said a floor of 3,000 rather than saying a ceiling. So they leave room to move the money around if necessary. But they are aware of that, and I don't think we're going to have a problem
It's also nice they have data that we didn't have, because last time, you know, we were kind of running with the thing of, well, given the format, the winner could get $2,000. That's not going to happen. But I don't think we had any idea realistically how much of the pool the winner would get.
Okay.
And now we have at least one data point which says, oh, wow, I wouldn't have thought that one person would have pulled a third of all the money, but they did. So it gives at least some data point to say, well, be careful, because one person can actually get a pretty good hunk of the prize money if they do really well.
Right.
All right. So we still have plenty more to cover. Are there more things about the festival mm-hmm. that we want to touch on, or should we keep moving? Okay. We'll keep moving then. Future fest planning, I didn't hear Mike pop on. Mike Sullivan, are you here yet? Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep going and hope Mike shows up later. I submitted a report on the vendor discount program. There's not a whole lot to discuss at this time. I think it's relatively stable at this point. Were there any questions about what I did right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll keep moving then. Scott, have you made any progress, or did you have anything to report on a membership drive?
Muted.
I love that you're still muted.
Oh, sorry. Nothing to report on the membership drive in the last couple of weeks. I had a talk with a member over the break. I believe it was Steve Vaughn, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah. We talked over the break, and we talked about a couple of relatively easy things to do, including sending out flyers and creating templates for flyers, just to have people, or things that people can have, and then possibly organizing IJA members to go and represent at local festivals. But I haven't made any progress on that yet.
Okay.
Scott, you and I can talk at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lloyd, you and I can take it offline. We'll talk next couple of days.
Good.
All right. All right. All right. So it's one of you two, not a boy. All right. Let's move on. Okay. Scott and Lloyd.
Yay. One love a dragon.
Okay.
It's a Wonderstone reference. Jeez.
All right, so someone is still unmuted. And we kind of came to hold the meeting like this.
I'll mute.
Okay, did that fix it? Yes. All right.
Yeah.
So if you just muted, you are probably the culprit, and please only unmute when you need to say something. Okay, education. Aaron submitted a report on YEP. Mostly you made me happy because you mentioned a few things that were, it looks like we may be looking at spending YEP money on, that I kept meaning to suggest to you for like months and never remembering to actually do it. I love the idea of kind of having a more formal certificate program, or the kind of pins that the Jugheads use.
Right.
Because it's the kind of thing I thought about for my pod, but it works much better in volume.
Yeah. And so I go looked try at to prices make already sets. And found out how much they cost for bulk and for individual sets and such. So now it's basically just looking at design and what we want those pins to be, and if you know how many of them, and like per, you know, do you just have one big one for the final thing, or do you have a set of them? Mixed in with certificates, you know, so there's different options there.
Yeah, and you should definitely, if you haven't already, you should definitely chat with Paul Arnberg about it, since he's gone down this whole path.
Yeah, I did talk to him at that training where he talked about it originally. They bought them for like $10,000, and that's where right now, because we have some leftover money from the 2012 funding, I thought now would be a good time to buy those and then just make a big investment in it, since we have extra funding than we do other years.
Right, and that's part of why I thought it was great, is because, like, if, like, for my pod, I liked this idea, it's not practical. I can't, in a volume that would work for my class, it would be ridiculously expensive.
Right, and I love the idea of being able to supply that to the people.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Cool.
And I also really liked the idea of awarding an IJA membership to each, you know, giving each pod an IJA membership every year to work with somehow, like be it a competition or, you know, somebody reaches a certain level and you want to award them with a membership or whatever it is, just to start bringing the IJA more into the focus of the pods as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that enough that I will have to seriously think about whether I'm just going to start doing that in my pod until Yep steps in, because I think that's a fantastic idea.
Right. Well, we're planning to do it this year, so you're in luck. That's the plan. Yeah, we haven't created an official budget to say when it'll happen, but it'll happen soon. But if you want to donate one as well, go for it. One thing I didn't put in there is that Nate, because I always talk about the new programs too, Nathan Wakefield has made amazing progress with potentially starting up to 2 to 3 pods in his local area.
Yay.
Exciting. Yeah. And Chase, I don't know if I mentioned that at the December meeting or not, but Chase in North Carolina has led the Cirque du South as well and has a bunch of kids, and we're getting some props donated to him through Props to You.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, and just to make you smile, Aaron, this time around, my pod has significantly more girls than boys.
Hooray! Go girls! That's beautiful. Good work.
Cool. Anything else on the education report Aaron submitted? Okay. Thank you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
There was also, the next one was also Aaron, and it was the IRC report, which was just a proposal for Mexico. Maybe we should just discuss that later.
Later.
There's a motion on it anyway.
Yeah.
And
the one thing I was just going to add, since I didn't write an official report, is just that the first full-length video was posted on eJuggle, and I don't know the exact numbers of like how many views it's gotten and stuff, but it did get like 24 Facebook likes on its little page, which is more than most things get on eJuggle, so that's good, and it's gotten a lot of good feedback and such. It was a pretty funny pretty funny video. I loved watching it. The Latin audiences definitely are pretty rowdy, which is notable in that competition. if anyone hasn't gotten a chance to see it, we're hoping for the Chilean one to be ready. I was hoping by the end of January, but it's looking more like it'll be sometime in February that the full-length video of Chile will come out. So that's progress in that region.
Let's get information on those to the newsletter coming out, presumably next week.
Okay, yeah. I'll definitely add something to that, saying check out the member benefit of watching these competitions.
Definitely. Okay. The website, again, I'll stall on because Mike is not here yet. Marketing, Tom did send out an email on stuff he's been working on, but I guess he's still stuck in his gig tonight. I don't know if anyone had questions that Aaron may be able to answer, or if we should just move on. Okay, let's keep going. We're running a little behind anyway. Marilyn sent us membership numbers. I think the big thing there is to notice that they took a pretty good healthy hop when the flood of registrations came in, so that's great. Financial, our treasurer gave us a report. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
No problem. I finally got access to the books, and I have gone through them and taken a look at it. Aaron asked me a question as well a couple days ago that I've been trying to figure out the answer to. What is the status of the general fund, and how has that changed over the past, you know, historical value, 12 months, a year and a half, whatever. So as soon as I get that information, I will be sending that out as well.
Yeah, is there a place to see? Because I'm looking right now. I guess I never saw the quarter three financial reports. I'm just looking at them right now. Is there a place where you can see what the general fund is overall? And you might know about
you would need to be given view-only status, which we can do. Scott, I don't know if that's something you can do right online. I think you can, but I'm not sure.
I haven't gotten to log into the bank account yet. I got home only about 3 minutes before the call started, so I'll do that when we're done. What I was trying to look at was the books that Holly sent. She gave it to me, and I was trying to figure out which one to add, of seven different accounts to add together would equal the general fund. But I'll look at the actual numbers online, and that'll give me like today's information.
Okay.
Cool. Well, yeah, just because, like, in relation to, say, what we're going to be doing later, I was like, I want to see where our general fund stands, and I guess I've never really been aware of how to check in on that and kind of see what our...
Well,
in looking at the books, the YEP money is pulled out in its own account balance. The EWI is pulled out in its own account balance. The fund is in its own account balance. And there's three other accounts in the books that may represent general fund money, but I'm just not sure what they're being used for. And they all have balances in them.
Right. Yeah, it was tricky.
Well,
yeah.
YEP is not its own bank account.
But it's
YEP is in the general fund. In Bank of America, we have one account that is termed the general fund. That's where we pull all of our money from. There is the EWI fund account, which is specifically for that $20,000 each year. And then there's the EWI restricted fund, which is the money we cannot touch.
Right.
There is also, and I forget where it's at. It's not in Wells Fargo anymore. But there's another bank that we also deal with that has the archives fund in it. And the life member fund. There are actually two life member funds. One was from the old life membership, and then the other one is from newer life members.
Right.
So if it's broken out on the spreadsheets that Holly sends, that doesn't necessarily mean they're all in their own account. It's just she's keeping the books separate on each one.
Right, and when answering Aaron's question, I was planning on giving the money that was giving a list of the money that was available for the board to allocate, because YEP money is available for allocation based on YEP purposes and so forth.
Totally, right. Yeah. Anything that's in the fund that's there to be worked with and grow and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well,
so I guess I had a few quick comments or questions. So one is, Kim, I'm guessing we should talk offline. We don't need to have everybody else sit through it now.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got me the bank account access, I know for a fact that the paperwork they put in front of me for that account had EWI's name. Not his name, but it said something like EWI Fund.
Yep. That's the name of the account. Yep.
Okay. So we ended up giving the account to the EWI account, but not to the general fund. Is that right?
There are three different bank accounts at Bank of America.
Right.
There is the general fund, which is connected to the debit card.
Right.
And that has all the general fund money plus any MMCC donations that come in go into that account as well.
Okay.
And the YEP money is in that account.
Okay.
The second bank account at Bank of America is also a checking account, but instead of us having a debit card for it, we just pull out of that and pull it into the general fund. We transfer the funds, and that's the EWI fund account.
Right. So this is inconsistent with what I'm saying, which is I now have I have an ATM card on my desk that I haven't activated yet, and the paperwork we did in getting me that listed the EWI fund on the account they were giving me access to.
It should have given you access to all three accounts at Bank of America.
Okay, so like I said, we can sort this through offline, but we should do that to make sure that the right thing's happening.
Yeah, Dave, I believe it was you have access to the three accounts, but the debit card should only, is only tied to one.
Okay.
Correct.
You should definitely check which account it's tied to. I'm pretty sure it's the general. But I think that's what happened.
Okay. So the three of us will circle the wagons later and make sure the right thing happened.
Okay.
Scott, the document sent out listed like a little over $54,000 in donations from EWE. Do you understand why that number wasn't 50? What's the extra 1,000?
Yeah, it was 4,000. That was weird.
I got a response on that. It was a combination of the money donations coming in, but then also a removal of discount future discounted value.
Okay.
I think that was it, future discounted value, because you have to not only discount future donations for the time value of money, but also for the likelihood that you won't receive it.
Gotcha.
So the fact that it wasn't exactly $50,000 represents the accounting adjustments for that.
Okay. So the last question I had was typically for every board meeting, we're supposed to get documentation from Holly on what all our outgoing payments were. Do you understand why we don't have that now? Did that go through you and didn't make it to us, or did we just not get it?
I never received it. She might. I asked her to send me a copy of the books, and she might have taken that to mean that means I have everything. And I'll check to see if it does mean I do. Then I'll go ahead and send them out in the future.
Okay.
Because now we have an arrangement. There's a second month where she sends me the books. Somewhere between 3 and 5 days prior to the meeting.
Okay, great. Yeah, if you could sort through that would be awesome, just so that one or the other of you ends up getting us that.
And also, Scott, now that you have access to the Bank of America accounts, you can go in and into the general fund and see what was paid out each month as well.
Right. I'll match those up just to make sure that there isn't one that has been forgotten.
Right.
Or one that hasn't been recorded yet.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Any other financial questions before we move on? Okay. The fund we actually did cover in depth during Kim's report, so thanks. Mike Sullivan is still not with us, correct? Okay. So
we had at least just talk about the future, because he did give us a report. Future Fest report.
That's what I was going to say. Let's do our best for that. And
yeah. Mainly, I'm just a little concerned that we only have the one option to choose from for 2014, just because I know we had talked to him about wanting to find some options on the West Coast as well in the last year. So, I mean, it's a nice offer, and it's definitely a cool thing to look into, but it seems like having multiple to choose from is ideal. But.
Yeah, I think I had similar concerns on different grounds, I think, which were, I think I was more concerned about what happens if Purdue falls through.
If Purdue falls through.
I think we had enough information that it looks like it's pretty good if it happens the way it was described to us, but if something comes up and we don't get a contract we can sign, then it sounds like we're kind of starting from scratch, and that doesn't seem
safe. And just from my past board experience, it's always been where we're voting based between a couple different options, not just here's your one option, and you don't really have a choice about if you want something different. So, but yeah, I mean, it seems like a really cool place for sure. It's just different.
So I'm with you. It sounds like that's where we're at. It sounds like right now we have Purdue and nothing else in the hopper for 2014, which is a little bit concerning. I share your concern. Mike's not here to assuage it, so I don't.
Totally. Yeah, he's not here to to tell us why that is or what's going on, but that's just my concern to bring to the table and something I'd just like to adjust just for the future. You know, I guess what expectations does the board have? As far as presentation of future festival options and stuff, like.
Yeah, I'm also uncomfortable with only having one. I just think that you know, we have one in the Midwest,
and then Purdue is in Indiana, also in the Midwest. I wonder if it's possible to get, it just seems like one option isn't enough. And I'm wondering what the process is. If what was considered, what was cut, or what was discarded in line, maybe that would help.
The more I think about it, I guess what we're saying isn't entirely accurate, because there was a point where there were multiple options on the table, and we looked at them and said, Purdue seems like the best one. See if you can get a contract for Purdue that would be to our liking. And so Lexington was one of the last ones on the table. So maybe if Purdue fell over, that Mike would revert to looking at Lexington, but I don't know.
Okay.
But it's not like, if we think back a bit, it's not like Purdue was the only one we ever discussed.
Right.
At some point we gave preferential treatment to Purdue over other proposals because we liked the sound of it better.
Okay. Yeah, and I know I missed the October meeting, and I thought that what had happened there, that Purdue was it, but maybe it was just the discussion happened that was what was going to be moved forward with for a potential.
Right, it was close to that. It was like, well, I think we have no objection to Purdue other than the fact that we don't have an actual contract, and if we got one and it said, P.S., this costs $1 million, then, of course, we would not approve it.
Got it.
So we approved it as much as we could without a contract.
Okay. And I guess, yeah, just my one concern, just because I know it was voiced a lot, that the idea of a West Coast one, and I know West Coast ones tend to be smaller, and there's other concerns about it. However, is what Scott was saying is, we have, if we're looking at Toronto for 2015, that's 5 years in a row of not going back to the West Coast, and that's just something to consider, is losing interest and ongoing support from those folks on that side.
And again, I would love to see one on the West Coast, but I know that it's not like that was completely ignored either. I know Mike did look into some options.
He did.
I know,
yeah,
Kyle looked
totally
into
options. Yeah.
And when Kyle looked, Oakland, he quickly said, "Oh my God, this is expensive."
Yeah, and that was exactly what Mike found too. And that was,
yeah.
And I know that was for like some big universities, and then there was the suggestion of looking at like smaller state colleges, coordinating with colleges that have juggling clubs where we could potentially get discounts through them.
Right, and I had asked him to look into Berkeley High, and I don't know if that ever happened. Kyle looked at, like, Oakland Convention Center.
And yeah, and that was after I talked to Kyle about it, and he was like, never mind. Totally. Yeah. And so I totally know, Mike's done a lot of work and thinks,
yep,
Purdue's a great option. But, yeah, just as the board, looking at the West Coast.
Yeah, if that was the meeting you missed, I think we were pretty well in support of it, just saying, as assuming we get a contract that conveys what you're describing, then yes, we're fine with Purdue.
Sweet. Cool.
But that being said, that was quite a few months ago now,
forward with that,
where we've made,
yeah,
progress. So if all of a sudden, right, so if all of a sudden it's not okay, then we're going to be in kind of a weird spot.
Right.
So.
Dave, question concerning future fests as well.
Yeah.
Has anyone made sure that we have canceled with Winston-Salem? Because we told Mike at the AGM to go ahead and do that, but I haven't seen anything confirming that we are out of any agreement we had with them.
That is a great question. So,
good.
Yes, we did tell him to do that, but I will follow up with him and make sure it happened.
Cool.
We'll take that action item.
And there was a specific deadline for that to be possible, correct?
Yeah, it has to be, I think it's by this July.
Okay.
That we definitely have to be out of it, but
sooner than
rather than later, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Good.
Thank
call.
You for that pointer.
I do like the idea that it would be going back to another college campus just to have two in a row and see,
Yep.
Just seeing if that turns tides or not and taking it from there.
Cool.
Okay. The one piece of data I can add on website stuff is I had reached out to Mike because a couple board meetings ago, and we could look back at the notes and figure out which it was, there was a meeting that Mike was not present at where someone had approached us with an offer to build a free website,
mm-hmm,
and took an action item to forward Mike that information, and I did so. So recently someone else approached us about offering to build us a free website, and I passed that on to Mike and there was a miscommunication where I expected Mike to respond to that person, and he didn't. And I followed up and said, okay, please respond to this person, and what happened with the other person I sent your way, and it turned out he hadn't responded to them either. So I have asked Mike to follow up with both of these organizations. I'm not terribly optimistic that somebody really is for free going to build us a great website, but we don't have that many options, so I don't want to just...
And even if they're offering it for free, you know, should we offer them a smaller amount than the amount to do the, whatchamacallit project? What's it called?
The AMS.
The AMS,
yeah. If, you know, and we don't have the annual fees on top of that, then it's viable to look at for sure.
Right. Both of these were organizations that build free websites for nonprofits.
Awesome. That's amazing. They're organizations that do it.
Right. You know, and we might look and say, yeah, that's going to stink, but I don't want to just blow them off and assume that's the case when we don't really have any
might
other
well
options on the table
research
right now.
Yeah, find
so
out what they're about.
So, yes, so I'm urging Mike to do that, but I haven't heard back anything about communications there.
Okay.
Okay. Should we move on to motions since we're running late?
Sure.
Okay. The first motion we had to discuss was Aaron's motion to approve the 2013 IRC Mexico proposal that she had provided. So when I was reading and catching up beforehand, I realized that
first we have
you
to make a motion, right? To
yeah, that's true. so let's just do that, and then I can cover what I was going to say in this.
I'll make
so do we have a motion?
I'll make
thank
it.
You can. And we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Aaron. Okay, discussion. So at some point you did give us something that kind of laid out what the costs would be to us. I'm almost positive I saw that.
That was on an email that I sent out.
Right. And so that didn't actually make it into the proposal or the agenda as it's written now.
Okay. Yeah, and that was more just me kind of because in the past all we've had is the proposal from the place, but just
right.
Now that I've done this for a year, and now that we're me and Kim are, you know, having discussions about bringing in the winners and stuff, now I've got a better secure idea of what our financial contributions will be. So that's why I included that this time around. I can add that to our Google Docs if I could find it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the email now, but we should get it somewhere kind of on the record so that.
Okay.
Because,
yeah,
for example, if we're going to approve it, I expect part of what we're approving is this possible expenditure.
Is this possible expenditure? I would think that would be logical. And, I mean, this year we went around it by having some of the money come out of the YEP program, and I'd prefer not to do that if we have it in general funding, and that's another reason why I wanted to see the general funding numbers is just to see,
right,
you know, how realistic that is. So what I put, yeah, was looking at $425 to saying $500 for safe measure to
right
be paid by the IJA for the event and to fly in the person. And this is and I always, when writing the rules for the competitors to read and everything, it says, you know, that the travel expenses will be covered with the contingency that we get the donation of the frequent flyer miles or something to cover the flight. So it's never a guaranteed, or it hasn't to this point been a guaranteed prize.
Okay.
And like
so,
I said, this is optional, and we can talk about the actual funding breakdown if anyone wants. But
so I'm looking at the funding breakdown now, and on the whole, I mean, there certainly is a part of me that's just like, if we can't find $400 to $500 to spend on something like this, then we're kind of that's just not very much money for something like this. And
it's not much money for how much publicity it brings and how much international outreach it does. Totally.
Right. So based on that, I personally am inclined to support it. But what I would like is for us to get a little more scientific about things and try to get some metrics in place so we can figure out any kind of data about how much it helps us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that.
You know, and there will always be some point where we will say, yes, this cost us money, but it served the, you know, the agenda of the organization. But
right,
if we think that, no, this really helps us in other ways, you know, publicity, which gets us members or which gets us grants or whatever, mm-hmm. then that makes it all much easier.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like the membership, and I kind of think a three-year trial of this program is when we'd, or a three-time trial in one country would really be when we'd start to see whether or not members will come out of it. And I would think the second year, just from having learned what I've had learned, and also Tom's been a part of the organizational process too, that we can start fine-tuning it now. You know, the first time in the country, it's kind of like, hey, this is what the IJ is about, this is what the competition's about, to a place where the IJ has never been heard of in the past, you know. Now this year, everyone knows about the IJ. They all like it on Facebook. They all like the stuff on Facebook all the time. But now it's coming in saying, hey, do you like the IJ? How about you support it by becoming a member? Now that they're actually have had 2 years to process it and really find out, you know, see kind of what the IJ is about and see things on the e-zine and YouTube and all that. So I think this year will be key to see how we could go in. And I know Tom talked about this too in his emails, going in with really, you know, flashy graphic join the IJ cards. That'll be some way.
Right, and I think we've already kind of had some actionable learnings from the ones you've already done. You know, and we talked about this in the past where if we go through an IRC where everyone's saying, oh, I love this and I love the competitions, and then you say, oh, you should join the IJA, and they go, oh, I don't know why I would do that, then we kind of got our messaging wrong. We need to somehow do a better job when we do our marketing of kind of tying these things so they understand, like, things like this can only happen if the organization is getting donations and memberships and is supported.
Totally. And I think, yeah, overall when I wrote that specific message, it was really only from one or two mouths that I heard that from. It's mainly just a trend of something I've heard from a lot of people in the younger generation is I don't join memberships. I don't do memberships.
Right.
That's a thing of the past type of mentality. But if it's framed in the right way, where you say that, you know, you are supporting the organization and you're supporting this program, you know, by joining the membership. And I've also made it clear to the directors that that's one of our intentions is to increase IJ membership and to, you know, coordinating with them on ways that we can strategize to do that as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've had to try to tactfully say to people at times is maybe you don't do memberships, but you also don't just get stuff for free, because that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, if you want the organization to do things, the money has to come from somewhere.
From somewhere.
and it is definitely the case that any time we ask for money in any way, there will be people that just say, well, I think you should do that for free. I think that would serve the community. And, well, yes, that is true, but people need to kind of get their head around the other side of it, which is we can't just do everything for free all the time and keep doing that.
Right.
So, you know, each time we do one of these, we should kind of talk to people and learn what we can and target our messaging the next time to see if we can keep improving at each step.
Totally.
But all that being said, I think that the budget that you're asking for here is small enough that I think it is worth doing that and learning from it.
Cool.
Personally.
Nice. And just sort of, you know, looking at that, it's half the price of what the Mexico Festival is paying, and I think that's a cool thing to look at too, is essentially we're saving money on getting great publicity in a whole country because they're paying twice the amount we are, you know, which is a cool setup as well. Any other thoughts?
Okay, so if there aren't any other thoughts, I think to vote on this in any concrete way, we would probably need to amend the motion to include the funding amount.
Okay.
And I would propose something along the lines of approve the 2013 IRC Mexico proposal with a budget of no more than $500 to be covered by the IJA. Anyone want to wordsmith that? Is that in the past, Martin has had lots of good ideas about how to tweak things based on the many motions he's heard over the years. I don't know if there's a better way to put that. Okay. Well, if no one has a better idea, Kim, were you able to capture the
Yeah, I kind of did.
I don't see any reason not to say.
Let's see if this works. Approve IRC Mexico proposal with the IJA obligation not to exceed $500.
That works for me.
And I'll make
so I'm trying to remember the formality of this. Do we have to move to amend the motion and then go through it all again? Okay.
Yeah, so I'll make that motion.
Okay. Will anyone second that?
Second.
Thank you. Okay. So I imagine, again, to be formal about it, I think now we probably have to, would anyone like to make the motion to approve the new version of the?
Oh, no, she already motioned to amend it, so it's now amended.
Okay, so now we're back to where we can.
Where we can vote.
We've already discussed, so I think we're to where we can vote. Okay. Is there anyone that disapproves of the amended motion? Is there anyone who would like to abstain? Okay. The motion is passed unanimously from those present.
Yay.
Thanks and congratulations.
That'll be
okay. Fun. All right. Our next motion, to approve the 2013 Awards Committee recommendations as provided by Jack Kelly.
I will make that motion.
Okay. Will anyone second that motion?
Seconded.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us to discussion.
Looks pretty awesome.
I certainly confess that there are people there I don't know, but certainly nothing I object to. Everyone I see, I'm either ignorant or I wholeheartedly approve. So.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any of them, but I am familiar with the people who are on the committee, so I'm good with this.
John Lewis is our editor of our monthly newsletter, just so you know.
Okay. If there isn't any other discussion there, we can move on to voting there. Does anyone disapprove of the motion as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. The 2013 Awards Committee recommendations are approved unanimously. So, Kim, pass on our thanks to Jack. And
I definitely will.
Okay, those were our only motions. We had two things in Varia, one of which I think we were going to discuss informally afterwards, so maybe we'll focus on the first and then wrap things up. So the first thing was, our 2012 festival video is underway. It's being edited by Taylor Glenn right now. It's certainly later than I would like, but earlier than last year. So, and there's not much. We're not going to be able to go back in time. It took a while for Taylor and I to sync up. So now the question is, when she finishes with this, what do we want to do with it? The good news is, we spent much less on this than we did in previous years. So our overall cost on having her produce it was, I believe, $1,000. I don't have the contract right in front of me, but
for her, and then also the money for Jayco.
Correct.
And that's true.
Correct.
Cool.
So, I mean, the obvious straightforward thing to do is what we have always done in the past, which would be to either have DVDs cut or have DVDs provided the same way we did last year on demand. The creative thing that we've been discussing much of the time I've been on the board was we're always looking for ways to kind of get leverage to value for our membership, and is this a good candidate? Should we say the festival video is a membership benefit because it doesn't cost us that much per member to produce, but it probably has a decent amount of perceived value for members and potential members. So I've been tooting this horn for a while, so I'm certainly in the camp that says I would make it available as a free membership benefit, but I'd be interested in what other people are thinking these days.
And just to define, I know the Easing team has talked about this specifically. The idea would be to post the video as a eJuggle members-only content in sections where you'd have your competition section, and then you'd have your this and your that, just so that it's not one big file, because that's one of the problems we had in the past of getting an online version of the DVD.
Right.
So it would be broken down into smaller bits and offered periodically throughout the year so that it's continued membership benefit as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will just voice that I, too, think this is an incredible idea. I've run it by several people who either are members or have been members in the past, and I'm like, you know, now that the magazine's not there, how much perceived value would you feel is increased if you had free access to the DVD footage? And they're just like, oh, my God, that's a brilliant idea. Oh, my God, that's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. So I'm in favor of it, and I also like the idea of looking at still selling it on AccuTrack for places like, I just saw that we got an order of 1,000 DVDs from Japan or something like that. Four places.
$1,000
worth. Yeah, exactly. Whichever. You know, so for other countries or prop vendors or whoever, who or people who just want that hard copy for their collection, to have the option
right.
of getting that.
Yeah. Any other opinions?
Yeah, I like that idea of doing both the AccuTrack DVD and the posting it online. I think one thing we could do is post, like, maybe the winning routines online on eJuggle throughout the year, and then maybe putting, like, a footnote, would you like to see the rest of the competitions? You can purchase the DVD here. That way we're promoting both the DVD and providing substantial comment or content to the e-zine.
Interesting. So that's
yeah.
kind of a hybrid. Where we give some stuff free to members, but not all of it.
Because realistically, a lot of those, like the individual championships, you know, you put the three winning routines on
oh, there, what?
In one file, that's like 30 minutes of content right there.
Nate, where'd you go?
Hello?
Oh. Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What were you saying?
Because realistically, if you just put, like, the top three individual winners on a file, that's, like, a half hour of content right there.
You're talking about like first, second, and third place of each.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Something. Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you put like, you know, all six or eight, that would be like an hour or two. Then you'd have, you know, the teams and everything. So you wouldn't necessarily have to put all that content on there to provide substantial value.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some logistical discussions there, independent of whether we like the idea, and that I've been learning as we've had discussions on this, that we don't typically put the full version of routines anywhere, and part of that is because we can't do that without permission of the performers, who might or might not give that permission. So if we thought that was something we wanted to do, we'd have to start figuring out if it was feasible.
Is that for Cascade of Stars or for competitions, too? I thought we did do full competitions.
I don't think we do anymore.
Yes, we do full competition routines. All championships. On the
in a video.
Not Cascade of Stars, only
right.
snippets of those.
Yeah.
And it's in a video agreement on the championship page that they're agreeing to have their full video published on the.
Okay. Well, that makes me happy. That's because that's how I thought it was, and then I could have sworn an email people told me otherwise. But I'm glad to hear that I read that wrong or somebody typed it wrong or whichever. This is a better answer.
But the last few years, I don't think the championships. The full championship has been on. It's been a longer segment than most others, but I'll have to go back and watch the DVDs. But
it might even still be the case that it hasn't been. But
my knowledge has been the full. To my knowledge, has been the full championships, unless somehow something didn't sit. And of course, we have overdubbed music.
Right.
So that part isn't quite full, but the video's there.
Yeah. I have the 2010 DVD, so I'll dig it out and watch it later. The 2011 I was hoping to get for Christmas, and I didn't. So I can't comment on that. But we should look into that. If we think a hybrid approach like that is interesting, we're not deciding anything tonight anyway, so this is fine. I'll have to kind of think about what I think of that idea, because I don't think I've heard that proposed before.
One other question I had is, I know Taylor is doing the video. Is she also making any sort of promotional trailer or anything?
I do not believe that is in the contract. So I guess it's possible she's doing it out of the goodness of her heart, but I don't know why she would.
Well, if she talked to Ivan always put together a trailer and posted
yeah.
it on YouTube. So if you talk to him about it, she's liable to do it.
She might have just filed his model, but it's definitely not in the contract for her to do that, which is a good observation in case we want that in the future.
Yeah, I think that's something to add for the future. They always get a ton of likes or a ton of views and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, yeah, it will be the case that, yeah, if Ivan was doing that, he was doing it to be a good guy because the contract we used with Taylor was the exact contract we used with Ivan, just editing names and such. So, yeah. We can think about that for next year. Well, I don't hear any non-support for at least releasing it in some form as a member benefit. So we should discuss that between now and the next meeting, and maybe by next meeting have an actual concrete proposal we want to
vote on. Yeah, because that'd be great. I mean, just to as part of like the membership drive or whatever might be coming up in the future for that, to have that be like a big announcement to go with that.
Absolutely.
Is that we're going to be having video for free? For
I think one option that you should at least consider is actually putting the full video on eJuggle in parts. Obviously, you don't have to watch it all at once, but having everything there, I don't see why not do that. If you're going to give sort of the major parts there, people aren't going to buy the DVD just to see the minor parts. If you know what I mean.
That's true.
So. And if you put it all there, then it looks like a good member benefit.
It's a great member benefit. And, like, a competition, they get to watch the whole competition from start to finish and, like, be a part of it like they were there for people who weren't there and, you know, wanted to be a part of it or see what happened. Yeah, it's different than just seeing the top three or whatever in a little bit, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is one way to look at Nathan's idea is – presumably the reason you might do it that way was in the hopes that you would get some more DVD sales from members. But I think if we just look at what the sales have been in the past, when that was the only way you could see it, they haven't been very high.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you dilute that to only the people that are willing to pay for the stuff other than some of the highlights, it's going to be even less. I got to think we just are not going to sell very many DVDs by taking that approach.
Yeah.
I know, Martin, do you remember, like, ballpark how many DVDs we've been selling in a given year? It's in, like, the tens, right? Other than, Nirvana buying a bunch?
Tens only,
yeah. Oh, no, it's you know, in the old days we maybe sold a couple of hundred tapes a year. But it might take a couple of years to sell that many. And DVD sales probably been down a little bit, partly because membership's down. I'd say, you know, on the order of 100.
Okay, so it's more than I'd said, but not...
I mean, maybe it's not quite that big, but
yeah.
Something like that.
And I think having that concrete membership benefit is just invaluable for us right now, because that's just something we've been struggling with for a long time, and especially without the magazine, having that just concrete to get all of the footage from the video or from the festival, so it's kind of it's pretty huge.
Cool. Okay.
Anyhow.
So this is something we should continue to discuss in the coming month, and everybody should kind of form their opinion of how they'd like to see that go. We do have a little bit of time while Taylor's continuing to work on it, but if we could have a real plan for what we're going to do by next board meeting, the timing would work out pretty well, because I believe her deadline's in March for when it's supposed to all be done. Okay, the other item in Varia was the situation that has arisen with the circus school in Quebec, Turbo, approaching us about a joint festival in 2015. I can give a brief summary of what I know. Tom knows more, but he and I had a long discussion about it on the phone, so he could convey to me what was discussed. So I'll pass it on to you. The thing that I figured we would want to discuss offline or off the record is more how we might want to respond to such a thing, because our minutes are public record, and I'm not sure we really want to fully disclose our position at this time, if nothing else, to Turbo. So I will tell you the stuff that doesn't involve any strategy at this point, and then we can discuss afterwards informally what we think of it. So basically, the deal is, in 2015, it's the 20th anniversary of their circus school, and they want to make a very big deal of that. They're planning circus events all through the year, And one of the things they earmarked as something they think would be a great highlight for this year would be to host or co-host the IJA Festival at their circus school during that year. It would be in addition to TurboFest in January, not instead of TurboFest in January. One of the immediate weird sticking points we would come to is that typically you need to be an IJA member to go to the IJA Festival. And I figured that would upset them. Tom said he mentioned that, and they kind of raised their eyebrows a bit, but then very quickly got over it and said, okay, that's fine. I'm sure that doesn't need to be a problem. And that's great. Whether or not it's an insurance concern, it means we don't really have to worry about whether it's going to cannibalize our membership numbers and cause us to lose members because they were only joining to go to the festival. And in fact, it will probably get us more members, and my hunch is that once people are members, they are more likely to renew again than to, you know, get that first hurdle of joining the first time. They believe, and their experience on Turbo would seem to back it up, that they have a lot of support from the city. They think they can get a lot of grants and funding, which would help with things like performers and so on. They own a facility, which gives them a huge advantage over our normal circumstances, because we don't have to pay for a facility. I mean, mostly, they've been running an extremely successful festival for years. Their membership is at their festival is now passing ours. They're actually making money on it. Their festival is now expanded to 4 days, but they like the idea of expanding it further to be a week-long festival if they do something with us. They don't typically do competitions, but they know we do. They think that's cool. So they are very interested in working with us, and given Turbo is very hot right now, and their membership is going up. It has a reputation as, you know, one of these festivals you don't want to miss.
The coolest fest in the North America, I think it's called.
Yeah. So the fact that they are so eager to work with us is certainly an interesting opportunity, I think, if we can work through the business logistics, which is the kind of thing we would need to discuss. I'm trying to think if there was any other kind of general overview things. Hotels. Interesting. So for anyone who hasn't been to TurboFest, getting a hotel is unusual. The year I went, the only people I knew who were in a hotel were Matt Hall, Don Lewis, and me. And Matt Hall was being put up in a hotel by the hosts. Their typical arrangement is that most of the attendees just crash in the basement of the circus school on the tumbling mats and so on. They set up tents and sleeping bags and so on. They are kind of... Their success has them outgrowing their space, but they have access to another entire school and gym not far in the city. They have a theater nearby that they have a good relationship with to do their shows. If you go to TurboFest, they do their show in the gym, and that's actually kind of lousy. But they have a high-quality theater nearby that I think they could use for that purpose. So there are hotels nearby. They don't normally take advantage of them, but they said, oh, yeah, if people want hotels, they definitely are available. When I went, I don't remember how far it was from the airport, but it wasn't bad. I took a taxi, and it was, I don't know, you know, $20 or $30 taxi ride to my hotel, and then I walked to the circus school from my Tom Wall, there you are. Hey,
guys. Sorry, I am ridiculously late.
Well, better late than never, because at the moment we are talking about the Turbo proposal. We're not particularly talking about our strategy towards it. I was just filling everyone in on details so that we can talk informally off the record about strategy.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just trying to sum up the situation with kind of hotels and transportation, and I think the basics of it was that they think there are plenty of hotels nearby for people who would want them, though that's not their typical modus operandi.
Right, yeah. The entire old city is basically just small bed and breakfast style hotels. And I believe there are some larger hotels further out towards the airport. The old town is only like 3 kilometers away, so it's very, very close. Perhaps a little too far to walk, and I proposed the idea of them working something out with a bicycle rental program, and they seemed very interested about that idea. So I think it's definitely, there are a lot of workable ideas, workable plans that you have.
So you're saying hotels are too far to walk?
They're slightly. I think it's
right.
Ballpark 1 mile away, maybe a little
right.
bit further. It's like where you stayed when you came to Turbo in the old city.
Exactly. So, proper context, I was able to walk it. I walked it in the snow and cold over the course of about 20 minutes. So for many people, that is doable, and for some, it is not.
Yeah, and especially when it's nice and warm out, you know. And I in my conversation with them, it sounded like there might be some more expensive options kind of closer by. This festival would probably be held at the college that's nearby. It wouldn't actually be held at the school in its entirety. The 24-hour gym would be at this college, and the college is currently building new dorms that may or may not be finished by the time of the festival. Where are we to have it there in 2015? So we'd probably be able to figure out some kind of Bowling Green-style rental situation, like a dorm situation there.
Remind me what you learned about the potential for camping.
They think that outdoor camping would be very difficult to figure out, but there might be some prospect of doing indoor camping. And by indoor camping, I mean basically having a basketball court-sized area that's dedicated to people that want to crash out there. That's something that they have to pursue with the school. Like, apparently the college has a ton of gym space. Like more than we would probably fill up even with a combined IJ and Turbo crowd. So that's the thing. Almost, I guess, similar to Bowling Green, you know, we've got those two gigantic indoor facilities, or they have those facilities, but they might be agreeable to the idea of having people camping inside one of their gyms. That's something that I have to pursue. When I was talking to them, I made it very clear that we're interested in keeping the associated costs with having the festival down. I told them, you know, effectively the EJC and the IJ cost about the same amount of money. If we're talking about a week-long festival experience, double festival experience, but it's the associated costs with those two different things, those two different events, that's what makes it affordable for some and not affordable for others. And they are definitely with us in trying to reduce those fees, because they have just as much vested in having a large attendance as we do. Like, this is their 20th annual celebration. Like, it's their big 20th anniversary thing as being a school. And they really want to puff out their chest as being an organization that's there for jugglers. And having lots of people show up is key for them. So they recognize the fact that having low associated costs is important in order to get the attendance.
The only other thing I would mention now is that they have asked me to write them a letter, and I've bounced email with them such that I've figured out what they really want, and I'm comfortable doing it, which is mostly just a letter saying we are interested in this as a potential idea.
Right.
And they believe that getting that from me will help them start investigating funding.
Right, yeah.
I said to them, I cannot tell you that we are coming there. And they said, nope, we get that. That's fine. All we need is a letter claiming that you're interested in the idea. I'm like, okay, well, that I can do. So I'm going to send that letter shortly.
Cool. Yeah, and that's the same conversation that I had with them. They have a really good working relationship with the city council, and the city council funds a lot of their programs. The city council is what has allowed them to give Veronique, the Turbo Festival coordinator, a salary for doing her job, and she would wind up doing much the same job for us as she would for Turbo Festival. Like the city council and the school are very, very close. And with a letter of intent like that, they'd be able to pursue funding from the city council. So there's a good chance that we'll, like, if we pursue this, that the city itself, you know, the city of Quebec City and the province of Quebec would be interested in putting some of the bill for our having a festival there. We obviously don't know what those finances look like until they've talked to those guys, but yeah, I mean, it seems unique for our festival, especially because, you know, it's not just a business transaction. You know, they might be able to get some grants, so that would be great.
Oh, there was also mentioned that they think it would be a fabulous site for busking, correct?
Yeah. The busking scene in Quebec City is known as a busking city. And so that could get some really interesting things going there. So we might want to, you know, if this happens, we might want to find a different busking coordinator, someone that's helped run a festival before, like a busking festival. But that would be a conversation for the future if it's all pulls through.
Right.
But they're known. They're really, really known. It's like as big as Boulder or like Boston or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's, I think, a pretty good summary of what's on the table. Does anyone have kind of logistical questions before we would talk about strategy?
Just a very general comment. I think it's very positive, and I think it's time that the IJA really enters into some experimental type stuff. So it's a timely possibility.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the things that makes this most intriguing to me is that it's not just some group that's coming and asking us to do this out of the blue. It's a group that would have significant stock in the success of the event. This isn't being viewed as a fundraiser for them at all. It's being viewed as part of a larger summer-long program that they're running, this summer of circus, because, you know, it is a milestone year for them. And I think that would make me feel a lot safer, or it does make me feel a lot safer about this experiment in and of itself. You know, the fact that they do have this stock in it, you know, it's not like we're going to be taken advantage of. They have just as much interest in having a successful event as we do.
Okay, so if nobody has any more general comments, let's wrap up the formal part of the meeting, and then anyone who's interested can stay on the phone afterwards, and we'll turn off the recording to discuss any strategic thoughts you might have. To do that, we need to figure out when our next board meeting will be. Looking at the calendar, I've got all sorts of conflicts on the night of February 20th, so I'm going to at least start by throwing out the idea of February 13th.
February 13th works for me.
Yeah, to my knowledge, that works for me. Maybe I'll be able to make 20 of these things someday.
And this is Scott. As far as I know, I don't have any conflict on any Wednesdays.
Okay.
But Wednesdays are good for me.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's say February 13th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. And that brings us to the point where we would need to...
Is there any interest in doing another mid-month meeting? I know that's not very far from now at this point. Just a
right.
Stat that we talked about doing
uh-huh.
The next one for a couple of months. One, two... That just gives us one, two, three weeks in between, anyhow.
Right. Is there a date you want to propose in that?
February 6th, that Wednesday, if Wednesdays are better than Tuesdays.
Yeah, I believe I can do February 6th. Okay, everyone else has been quiet, so I'm hoping that means that people don't have conflict. Okay, so Kim, our trusted scribe, I think we're saying we're going to shoot for February 6th for another planning meeting, and then February 13th for our next board meeting.
I just realized the Slim Fund Committee has scheduled a meeting for February 13th. So I'll let Warren know and see if we can change that. Maybe the week
okay.
Before February 6th. Well, the planning meeting is February 6th, right?
I'm sorry. I'm having a really hard time hearing you.
The planning meeting is February 6th, you
said? Can't hear you, Ken. there's definitely
a lot of medics. The planning meeting, is that February 6th?
Yes. There, I heard you that time. Yes.
Okay.
5:30 to 6:30.
Am I muting your microphone? I think that there's a lot of noise coming in.
I'm also guessing it's Tom.
He's around a bunch of happy people is what it sounds like.
All right. So if we have those dates settled, then do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make that motion, Aaron.
Okay. Thank you. It does not need to be seconded. I don't know if there's a whole lot to discuss, anything before we adjourn. Okay. We will vote. Does anyone object to adjourning the meeting? Does anyone want to abstain? Okay. The meeting's adjourned at 7:09 p.m. Pacific time. I am going to turn off the recording, and anyone that wishes to stay and further discuss strategy can do so, though I'll warn I probably don't have a lot of time to do that at this point, but we can take a few minutes. So I'm going to turn off the recording now, assuming that I remember how to do that properly.